Welcome to Awakening Matters, spiritual dialogues that invite divine wisdom, joy, and laughter. Our engaging topic this evening is environmental changes, and we're going to be discussing that in relationship to our humanity from an infinite dimensional perspective.
Hello, everyone. We're delighted to have you with us again this evening. And as usual, I have to say this show is all about listener participation. Otherwise, we'd just be down at the coffee shop talking to each other. So we would love to hear your questions and your comments. Comments are good, too. You don't have to ask questions. And we're going to be asking you to do that during the second part of the show. But make a note of the number now. It is 1-877-876-5227. Again, that's 1-877-876-5227. And we'll repeat that one more time before opening the lines to calls.
Great. Thank you, Ani. You know, today in talking about this subject, it's a subject that involves everyone and everything. There's really no separation regarding our environment. When I was sleeping this morning, I woke up half asleep, half awake to Spirit inviting me to really look at the word environment or environmental, and Spirit invited me to separate the word environ from mental. I went ahead and looked it up, and I was surprised, actually, to see that it means to encompass, to circle, to envelop, to surround. And then, of course, the other half of that word is mental. So it was very telling that the actual word environmental, in it is the exclusive revealing nature of what we are doing, not only in our humanity, but what manifestation is in all form, and that is we are enveloping and encompassing and surrounding through our mental relationship as one aspect, but inclusive of the word, through our mental relationship with our environment is how we are manifesting. So through the mental, the picture, I often see in our human form, I see everyone is lit up. It looks like everyone is a flashlight walking around. Their crown chakra with the white light coming from and to it, and then this projecting screen from all the energy centers from within the body. So it's often that the environment that we are creating is in relationship to what we are projecting from within our mental body into what encompasses our mental body. So it's very interesting for all of us to contemplate it from that perspective. Also, it also reveals that there is no separation between Earth and humanity and all form, except maybe the way we treat one another. That would be the distinction. It's very much a time that our landscape, not only financially, but physically, emotionally, mentally, is shifting and changing. I want to invite people to really look at environmental changes through your own body of work, that physically we have a body that when it is ill, it transforms itself, it needs to renew itself, it lets us know by a fever, by a symptom, by a cause. It's a messenger to us about ourselves and where we are not paying attention, where we are not aligned and listening. And I invite people to recognize that Mother Earth is a body with a consciousness and a tremendous amount of love, and that Mother Earth's body and Mother Earth's need for inflammation and eruption and all the earth changes, that's very much about Mother Earth's landscape and needing to transform herself in relationship to what toxicity, negativity, and above and beyond that, separation and a real feeling of entitlement that humanity has to use and abuse her body of work, that I'm using Mother Earth as a she in the aspect that the feminine rebirth is what's happening, and that Mother Earth's body will shift and change anywhere from fires to floods to landscape actually dying to new landscapes spurting up. It is a constant and forever changing landscape. But one of the things for us to never forget is that Mother Earth's adaptability is endless. And Mother Earth's I would say, ability to survive and thrive is also attached to an intelligence that is loving and really without strings attached. So one of the things to really think about is that there is no separation between what's happening in our environment and to ourselves. And that Mother Earth's environment, yes, we are affecting it with toxicity, mentally, emotionally, and how we treat one another, let alone what we pour into Mother Earth. Because Mother Earth, we are literally living on top of Mother Earth's skin. We are in her auric field. We are a part of it. And what we experience and what we deny and what we throw out is left upon a living consciousness. And that living consciousness is then left with the need to transmute it, transform it, and return to her alignment and natural state of being. And so I invite us all to, again, not look at what's happening outside of us as how we're going to fix it, but look within us at how we're going to represent a collective consciousness. And if our own bodies are not well, if we are suffering physically, then the healing takes place for those of us that take notice and we apply what's needed. And that we also need to help Mother Earth not need to suffer so tremendously, let alone all other forms, by assisting the healing of Mother Earth as well. I have some quotes that are very inspiring, and one of them is by Benjamin Franklin, believe it or not, and the quote goes, "When the well is dry, we know then the worth of water." When the well is dry, we know then the worth of water. And I invite everyone to consider that humanity is at a state of such extreme fear and contraction, and also at the same time, parallel to that fear and contraction, humanity is working with a great desire to move beyond it and rise from it and create change. And so one of the things to think about is we're not paying attention to the wholeness of what's going on in our lives or within ourselves because we are so connected to the timelines that we have given all our attention to. And so the invitation is to really not wait in your own life or in the environment's life till what you have taken for granted is no longer available, and that's when you know it's worth. And that includes your own health and peace of mind. And that was Benjamin Franklin, and so that was quite some time ago that same quote applies now. You know, you must be the change you wish to see in the world. That, of course, is Mahatma Gandhi. And I invite us to remember what I'm saying here today as part of this divine dialogue is that we are part of the environment, and if we look at healing ourselves and listening to the messages that our own body holds for us, we take part in healing the not only the atmosphere, but healing the hologram, so to speak, that we are a part of, healing Mother Earth and also healing other facets of all forms. You know, the destruction of nature and natural resources results not only in an imbalance, but ultimately climate changes that can greatly affect the physical health of all forms, especially as Mother Earth corrects in a massive realignment what she needs to self-preserve. And that is what a lot of humans throughout centuries have experienced, is Mother Earth's self-preservation and her continuance to purge and regroup and survive. So we're not just here and a supreme being with a plan. Mother Earth has her own plan as part of a planetary alignment. And I am here to share with people one perspective of many, but this perspective offers the opportunity for everyone to contemplate if all the foundations that we have become accustomed to finding our security in, to feeling our safety in, if they are all crumbling, it is a mass opportunity not only of renewal, but to create in a way that offers a rebuilding of sustainability, of community, of linking cycles, and a foundation that is much stronger because it is environmentally an opportunity to rebuild and do so in a green way, which takes into account all the forms that we're participating in. Because, let's face it, folks, many of humanity have tried it the other way, not taking in all that's going on and all that's a part of. I'm seeing here that Ralph Waldo Emerson had a quote to say, "To be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment." I invite you to take that quote and apply it to Mother Earth. I invite you to take the quote of "to be in yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment." Think of Mother Earth and her capacity to be who she is and return to who she is, regardless of how much toxicity there is. I invite you to really apply that there. Right now is an amazing time. It's an amazing time of eruption, of inflammation. It's an amazing time of change, and it's an amazing time to understand that technology without spirituality is suicide, to act supreme and to act above the law of balance and of nature is to destroy oneself. And now is a time for us to very much take into account. I keep saying that, but I really don't feel like I could say it any less, because self-governing is key for all of us to self-govern in a daily way and to be very mindful of our instinctive bodies and ability to know and communicate with our bodies, our mind, and our spirit is our ability to feel Mother Earth's call and to answer it. And that can be done in your individual lives as well as in community. So if there's somebody out there, and many of them are right now, that are being laid off, that are in fear of loss or in fear of what to do now, know that there's a community out there right now. Instead of going back into the loss until the next layoff happens in the corporate scheme or what is faltering, I invite everyone to try and find, and or if it isn't available, to create in your own community a sustainable link, to not reunite with the failing cycle, but to create a green, sustainable link. You have the wisdom. Trust your heart. Trust yourself. There are many people working behind desks and in offices that feel they have something to say or something to offer greater than. If you're laid off before, please, you go to another failing cycle or another attachment to holding on to the next paycheck, I invite you all to gather together to put the word out and participate in creating something different for yourselves and each other. So with that said, Ani, please share your wisdom.
Okay, if I must. Well, you know, Cynthia, I really had to think about this one. You know, environmental changes, climate changes. You know, really big subject, long history of Earth, really had to sit and think about it. So I did. I'm pretty sunked out at this point, so I'll just share with you. I found myself sitting down at the NASA website and looking at all those wonderful pictures of nebula and planets, and I came across a whole bunch of pictures of planet Earth taken from space.
Mm.
Anyone who's seen those, I think, is awestruck. You can't be anything else. It's blue, it's green, it's got white fluffy bits. It's just beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for the foreseeable future, while we're all running around temporarily masquerading as individuals, it's our home. So, like you said, let's not think of Earth as a separate entity. It's been around for about 4.5 billion years. And does anyone really know how many years we've been around? We've been through a lot together, the human race and Earth. If Earth hurts, so do we. If we hurt, Earth feels the pain. One way or another, this planet has hosted our collective consciousness for a long, long time. And it's, you know, so far everything's been fine. We go through some changes, but what's all the fuss about now? Everyone goes on about, you know, fuss, global warming, owls are dying, spotted owls are dying. What's going on? I mean, are we really in trouble? Have we left it too late? Personally, I don't believe in such a thing as too late. I mean, too late for what? The Earth will always be there. It may need a rest once in a while. It looks different from time to time. It may not be able to support life as we know it all the time, but what's a couple of million years in the greater scheme of things? Then again, personally, with the work I do, I can't afford to have an emotional investment in the outcome of anything. I'm just here to guide the ride, as it were. But this subject got me on a pretty deep personal level, and I have to say, I do believe that we're at a point right now where it's critical to be proactive, or it will indeed become critical. So, you know, human beings have achieved a lot over the years, but in general, we don't do anything until we're absolutely forced to. So how do we break the cycle of indifference? Education, you might say, well, yes, but, you know, the one thing history has taught us is that knowledge isn't power. We keep making the same mistakes over and over again, don't we? I mean, no one ever said, hey, Talat, that ethnic cleansing thing, it's disgraceful. Let's not do that again, you know? Or, you know, every time we go to the ball game, we eat those dreadful nachos made with cheese whiz, which isn't really a food group, and we get really, really sick, and then the following Monday we go and do it again. So, you know, it's not what we know. We know what we know. It's what we think. We have to change the way we think. Here she goes again. Yes, I know. But everything starts with a thought. That's how we were created. That's how we created our world. Everything we are, good, bad, ugly, or like me, pretty, is a direct result of our thought pattern. Cynthia, stop laughing. They'll hear you. So, you know, I said to myself, Ani, look around. Go beyond your backyard. Have a global moment. You like what you see? Do you understand what's happening on the planet now? You know, I've had countless lives on this planet. I really have. And a lot of them have been to do with environmental issues. I've always honored the Earth. And all of a sudden, something was different for me. It's 2008, I'm 49 years old, and something's different. What? Now, environmental changes are natural in the order of things. Earth's been around a while. It's seen its fair share of climate change. The sun's always energized the Earth with light, and Earth's always released some heat back up into space. And until recently, we are led to believe that it's been a fairly balanced exchange. Sure, you know, there are fluctuations in our orbit around the sun, ocean circulation, volcanoes, meteors, comets, all that sort of thing to consider. Again, we seem to have come through it all somehow. I mean, sorry about the dinosaurs, but you know, life in one form or another does go on. So what's the fuss about? Well, the cause for concern right now with regard to climate change, a very important factor indeed, is global warming due to man-made increases in greenhouse gas emissions. So let's take a quick look at that and see what it really means. And perhaps we could take a look at what we can do about it on a daily practical level while shifting into a new awareness for our future. No need to panic. You know, a sense of urgency and panic are different things. What we want to do is to try and bring our thought pattern back into vibrational alignment with our source being. So I'm not going to launch into some sort of geography lesson. I mean, you can go to the library and read all about climate change, and you should. But this is the very quick Star Trek version of, damn it, Jim, I'm a medical intuitive and not a climatologist. You know, it's that version. Because I find a lot of people don't really know what I mean when I talk about global warming. So here we go, very quick. The sun, big ball of gas, is our only external source of heat. So this sun emits solar radiation, mainly shortwave and ultraviolet energy. This radiation travels to Earth, thank you, sun. 25% of it is absorbed by the atmosphere. Boom, it's gone. Another 25% is reflected by the clouds back into space. The rest of it makes it to Earth and heats us up and energizes us. And what we don't use is sent back into space, but in a weakened state. It actually goes back as long-wave infrared radiation, also known as heat. Greenhouse gases, which are not bad in themselves, they consist mainly of water vapor, followed by carbon dioxide, methane, and nitrous oxide. So these greenhouse gases trap the returning heat and stop it returning to space. So this is Earth's natural greenhouse effect, and it keeps our planet at about 33 centigrade warmer than if it didn't have an atmosphere. On average, our surface is supposed to be 15 centigrade. In contrast, our moon, which has no atmosphere and therefore a terrible place to have a party, average is about minus 18 centigrade, but won't be going there anytime soon, let me tell you. Anyway, during the last 200 years or so, we've been seeing a release of extra quantities of greenhouse gas. These are trapping more heat in the atmosphere. So the Earth's surface temperature is rising, and that's why we see pictures of polar bears floating around on tiny ice chunks looking bewildered. But in a nice, you know, in a little nutshell, that's global warming. When did it start up? Well, we started upping the emissions around 1750 which was the dawn of a new age, the beginning of the Industrial Revolution. We started extracting and burning fossil fuels and clearing forests. We did this, of course, to develop the new technologies, but also to support a growing population. Now, let's talk a bit about population. As of November 2008, the world's population is estimated to be about, wait for it, 6.72 billion. It's projected to be 9 billion by the year 2042. Wow. I mean, that's a lot of injected, molded, synthetic, partially non-recyclable shoes to be wearing, I think, don't you? Let's go back a bit. Estimated population in the combined Roman empires, that's the East and the Western Roman empires, in the years 300 to 400 AD, was about 50 million. And it must have been positively lonely. But all the shoes were leather, so that's a blessing. Apologies to my vegan friends. So by 1000 AD, estimated world population hits about 310 million. All right. What happens after that? Let's take a look. We don't really know because they're not really that accurate, but we can be sure about the accuracy from the world population from 1750 onwards. 1750, the world population was 791 million. That's million with an M. All right. Now, by 1850, we'd reached 1,262. By 1950, 2.5 billion. By 1960, almost 3 billion. By 1970, 3,692. By 1980, 4,434. By 1990, 5,263. The year 2000, we just made it to 6 billion, and here we are in 2008 at 6.72 billion. And I say, wow, who are all these people? Who are we all? What are we doing here? Looking at these figures we just read, no doubt the 20th century was the biggest increase. A great part, no doubt, due to the advances in medicine and the increases in agricultural productivity, not apparently in contraception. Well, as all enlightened souls would say, never mind all that. Let's start from where we are, and here we are, all 6.72 billion of us, and unless there's an unexpected pan-planetary catastrophe, or until we all learn to be nice to each other and go home, stay we will. So, it might be a while, so how do we make this work? How do we do our bit to keep the faith and keep this planet compassionately attuned and favorably disposed towards us? How do we adapt? I don't think anyone can pretend to have all the answers. And I personally am not an opinionated person and would never dream of telling anyone what to do, but a couple of things come to mind. Now, regarding population, people use resources. And since we need to reduce the size of our collective carbon footprint, shouldn't we give at least some thought to cutting back on the production of teeny tiny footprints for a while? Now, stop emailing me. Don't call. I'm not saying don't procreate, okay? I'm simply suggesting that we ask the question, especially if we have some kids already, what is the greater purpose served by my birthing this soul? It's a hard question. It's a big picture question. And there is a couple of countries out there that I can't name, but India and China, who have totally out of control on their population. So just a thought. People eat resources. And regarding resources, yes, technological advances in the post-industrial revolution, I mean, yes, they're fantastic. Every day we invent and we develop some device that can do so much more with so much less. Someone gave me an iPod thing recently for my treadmill experience, and it holds like 10,000 songs. Trust me, I'm never going to spend that long on a treadmill. And I won't deny that I use technology. I use my PC every day. I drive a car every day. I use my cell phone. Sometimes I even have time to watch my TV. I'm not saying these things are bad, but I'm really very glad that all of a sudden these wonderful recycling centers are opening up, especially here in Portland, where you can recycle a tremendous percentage of these technological parts. It's just that it blows my mind sometimes when I hear things like, within 40 years, nanotechnology will be so advanced that you can order something on the internet, and if you have the proper equipment, it will reproduce on your module within seconds, just like Star Trek. Is that really doing more with less? Are we using our technology for the right reasons? Should I be happy with that? Should I be happy if I have it nanoed over? Well, I guess I won't have to dump trash bags full of packaging. That's a plus. But should I be happy about any technological advances while people are still killing each other, when they still haven't grasped the most basic concept of oneness? Surely, to reiterate what Cynthia said earlier, spiritual clarity needs to match our technology, not our toxicity. So, yeah. The price of gas has come down recently, $1.89 per gallon, which is great. But does anyone know the actual true cost of extracting the fossil fuels? You'd be surprised. It's actually quite ridiculous, and I'm not going to tell you, but you're welcome to send us an email, and if you know the answer, you might get a prize. So, you know, have a think about these things. One other thing I want to talk about before I, you know, sign off for a bit, I'll get back to this, is perhaps the current economic downturn, as it's perceived, is a good thing. Perhaps the demand for stuff will decrease. Abundant living doesn't mean having possessions, it means letting life flow through you. A great deal of the gas that we use to transport is used to transport the food that we eat and the goods that we purchase. Wouldn't it make more sense to grow and consume local foodstuffs as much as possible? You know, fossil fuels are a finite resource, we know that, and we may or we may not have viable alternatives ready to go when the oil runs out. So why not get in the habit of having something on hand locally? Far too much of our food production is outsourced. You know, don't go hungry, USA. Look, why am I seeing blueberries from another country in Oregon supermarket? You know, we are the berry state. These are the questions that that I need to ask. So let's, I do have it here, people. I'm totally prepared for this show. I want to give you the phone number one more time. No, it's, I do have it, Cynthia, honestly. Yeah. So you can start calling in if you like. The number is 1-877-876-5227. 1-877-876-5227.
Thank you, Ani.
Hey.
Now, I wanted to invite everyone to continue in addition to what Ani has shared, look at some tangible explanations of how to apply what's being shared here. And Ani has shared much of that, and I wanted to add to that I agree right now, as Ani has stated, there is a bigger population of human beings on the earth than ever. I tend to look at it as there is a divine orchestration of that event, and that all the human beings are here in a mass consciousness because of all the changes that are going on and by the souls that prior to arriving here knew would take place on an agricultural level, on a soul level, on a community level, on a mass level, on all levels. And those, all of us that are here right now, there is no mistake that we are here in this mass abundance. If you, as a tangible experience, an invitation to, let's take somebody losing their job. If you've just lost your job or a family member has, I'm inviting you to think of, before you look in the paper, before you look at what is the next thing that you will grasp, understand the concept and, again, make it your own. I'm one to say that don't let any of this dialogue replace your own truth, but contemplate it, and if it resonates for you, then do make it your own and apply your own language to it. Well, we are all instruments. We're all instruments able to connect to a universal source of unending wisdom and guidance, whether we used it prior to this, if you're having a catastrophe in your life right now, loss of any kind, or prior to the crisis that you are watching either unfold outside of you or internally in your own family. We are all universal sources of unending wisdom and guidance. How do you tap that resource? How do you connect with it? And I'm inviting everyone to understand and contemplate that you're here witnessing all that's going on around you and in your own life because you are able also to sit down and breathe deeply and connect and invite, simply become an individual that says, I am open to receive any wisdom and guidance I can right now as an instrument, a divine instrument, to make a connection for myself and for others to better not only my situation, but of those I know and those I don't know. And then to allow yourself to simply be in a state of receiving either visions, ask to receive it in your dream state, ask to feel it, ask to receive details. When you ask to receive, what you're basically doing is giving permission to your counsel, which would be your guides, your angels, and loved ones on the other side, to recognize that you are going to focus there at least one time in your day, or more times the better, but that you're going to recognize that you are this divine instrument, that there is a huge population present on Earth of all form, and especially humanity, and there is a divine orchestration in that event, and that whether you have used it or whether it has been misdefined for you, that now whatever walk of life you're in or belief that you're in is an opportunity for you to sit with yourself or gather with others and give yourself permission that you are divine instruments and you have as much to say about the music that you create through you as you do the music you're listening created by others.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you, Cynthia. I'm not saying, you know, don't have kids and you know, all of that. It's very much we're here, we're supposed to be here. I don't think we've made mistakes by being here. I totally agree with that. I'm just saying, on a practical level, let's look at what we've done and let's not stand still. Let's definitely go forward. But really what I'm saying, I think, is how many appliances do we really need in our homes? You know? Mm-hmm. Was that a caller?
Yes, I think it was. Caller, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Hi.
Hello.
Hello. I'm listening to your show, and you both have very good points, a lot of interesting points, practical application. But I think one of the things I have a question about, how can we, with our spiritual awareness as an individual or as a group, help the environment and help Mother Earth?
Absolutely. Thank you, caller. I think that we can help the environment individually and help Mother Earth by, in our personal lives, doing the recycling, doing the mindful awareness with food, with plastics, with all of that. But then beyond that, I think it's really about creating community, collective consciousness, and linking with one another, whether it's your neighbor, somebody at work, creating groups, creating weekend meetings, where everyone is brainstorming, everyone is as important as the person sitting next to them, and everyone is having ideas and sharing those ideas of what's possible to implement regarding inspiration to one another, and green foundational businesses and cooperations, where maybe it's not in your community, but maybe your community can go to a place in need and help there, and that community can then gather with all of you, and more people with your original group gather and go to another community. It's very much, it's not about who has the most or who has the least. It's about how individually you can be an instrument to receive inspiration and guidance, not based either on your experience or another, but looking around either in your own parameter at what can be, well, how you can affect it, but most importantly to recognize that you are here on the earth not just to get a paycheck, to have your own experience, but right now specifically between now and 2012, you are here to affect the mass consciousness. What are your thoughts on it?
No, I agree with you, Cynthia. I would add to that a really big thing. Consume less. Teach our children to consume less, to demand less of what we get in our stores, and to break the cycle of consumption. Because if we don't demand it, they're going to have to stop making it.
Mm. Good point. Really good point.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. It's very interesting. And you mentioned, Cynthia, you mentioned the year 2012. How does that relate to our environment right now and our spiritual awareness?
Well, 2012 is the end of the Mayan calendar. And the end of the Mayan calendar is, you know, it really depends on the perspective that you're coming from, not just you, caller, but human consciousness, the belief system you have. Many believe it's the end of times. Many believe it's the beginning of new times. Many call it the golden age, etc. But 2012 is really symbolic of not only a time of change, but many believe that it marks the return of heaven on earth, if you will. however you would put it from your spiritual or non-spiritual beliefs. But it's really a timeline that speaks of intensity possibly now and heading towards 2012, only in the sense that many are that are present on Earth in their human form are aware and awakefully mindful that these changes are occurring, and a lot of people believe these changes are occurring right now in every facet of humanity structure that humanity has created prior and past, that crisis is happening and foundations are dissolving because of the need to recreate from a place of integrity, from a place of wholeness, and from a place of centeredness.
And I think it's also, you know, there's so much more spiritual teaching available to us now than there ever has been before. And I do believe that 2012 is the beginning of a cycle where there'll be even more available to us. So I see it as a wonderful new opportunity for us to align ourselves vibrationally and tune in to all of the wisdom that's coming in for us.
Absolutely. Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Thank you.
So, you know, and she makes a good point. You know, it's like, as I was saying, how many appliances do we need in our home? You know, if we were truly happy and fulfilled, we wouldn't be bulldozing landfills, would we? You know? I just have to say this. I mean, this may not... You don't need special attachments to poach an egg or to make an omelette or popcorn, okay? Learn how to cook. It's not that difficult. And you don't need a special machine to make frosted margaritas. Use your blender. Trust me, people. In my younger days, this was an area of expertise, all right? Now, especially now at the holiday season, stores are full of completely useless products. Where does all this junk end up? Landfills. Stop inventing useless gadgets, inventors. People, stop buying them. You know, use less and recycle everything. Use less and recycle everything possible. Break the cycle of consumption. Let's be a little bit more self-sufficient. You know, if you have a garden, if you have a greenhouse, maybe you can grow something, some herbs, cucumber, I don't know, whatever you like. And if you can't, perhaps there's an organic collective in your area you can support. You know, Cynthia mentioned this earlier. You know, a lot of these people, they deliver now, and they have a great range of vegetables. It's not just kale, you know, which is what it was 10 years ago. You can actually have some variety in your veggies now. So, you know, I know that the majority of all of this global warming and the toxicity, it's all to do with big business. But there's 6.72 billion of us here, and if we all of us do something little every day, we can make a difference. Forests are being cleared for food production and cattle rearing. You know, we need to grow the fodder to feed the cows so we can eat the cows, and so it goes on and on and on. And it's happening because there's a demand for it. The whole food production chain is less than perfect the way it's been set up. And I am not saying close borders, hunker down, and eat carrots out of your backyard. Far from it. I have a global perspective. But, you know, take a look at this. Take a look at what crops are being grown and why and where they'll end up. You'll be surprised. You know, you look at all those wonderful fields of corn in America, miles and miles and miles of golden corn. Only 1% is the type that ends up on your plate in its natural state, slathered in butter and salt. You know, the rest of it is processed for everything from cereal to glue, to feed, to ethanol, you know? So stop producing nutritionally deficient processed foods. People, stop buying them. You know, this really, all of the crops we're growing, they're beginning to be genetically modified. More than that, they have to be resistant to disease. So that means fertilizers, and that means toxic runoff in the groundwater, and the chain goes on, you know? Break the cycle. It's not a lot to ask of each other, I think.
Yeah.
What legacy do we want to leave our children, especially if there's going to be 9 billion of us, you know, in some 30-odd years? Please, this is the single most valuable thing you can do to shift consciousness and therefore physical reality on your planet today. Pay attention. Please, please, please examine the emotional component to your physical needs. So important. So, again, I'll say, let's start from where we are. And, you know, change is change. Maybe it's not such a bad thing. I'm not particularly worried about global warming. You know, maybe the ice caps will melt, and when they do melt, the clean, fresh water will mingle favorably with the seawater, and perhaps desolate, barren landscapes will be fertile again and support all types of life, including us. Was that a beep, Cynthia?
Yes, I think we have a caller. Hello,
yes.
Caller.
Hello. I started getting riled up about the margarita comments, so I thought I'd call in. But then you've kind of answered my question in a way. But on the other hand, the issue is, as human beings, we're driven, it would seem to me, to produce and to create and to come up with the next best widget, whether one person's folly is another person's necessity. And if it ultimately doesn't matter if the earth goes through whatever cycles it goes through, then what does it matter whether we have a new Cuisinart?
Well, thank you, caller. The cycles the earth goes through very much matter. And not only do they matter, but in fact, we're talking about how we are part of and influencing those cycles. We are either quickening or elongating those cycles. We are either creating a mass destruction, which is creating the output and opportunity for water to take over landscapes because we are not caring for that particular location. I think humanity's participation in the changes in the cycles has everything to do with the humanity's contract with Earth to be continually honored by Mother Earth. So I think we as human beings have come to a point where we need to remember that and not take for granted that our participation here is we need to return to basics. We need to return, like Ani was saying, to the basics where we're not consuming so much and then trashing the earth, but that we look at other ways of returning to basics and bartering with each other and helping each other to exchange in different ways and really returning to creating an earth that is about, it's a more holistic approach versus greed, versus, the earth provides enough to satisfy everyone's need, not every man's greed, and that was by Gandhi. And that's very much the case, I think, that we're both making here.
Yeah, cool, that's a really good question, and I totally get your point. You know, you're saying, okay, so if a billion years from now, there's this whole landfill underneath the earth of Cuisinarts and frosted margarita blenders and immersion blenders and all that sort of thing, you know, if the earth is going through its regular cycle, won't it purge that? Well, you know, maybe it will, maybe it won't. For all we know, maybe that whole landfill of appliances will degrade into some sort of fossil fuel. The only thing I have to say about that is the extraction of fossil fuels right now is very damaging to our Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd rather just put a stop to that if I possibly can. Did that answer your question in any shape or form?
Well, I agree that it's all damaging and that we should do our best to try and stop it, but it just seems through recorded history and memories of Atlanteans and heaven knows who else has been around that perhaps we never seem to learn our lesson. Or maybe that is the lesson.
Oh, I know. I do agree. I mean, the Atlanteans got to a tremendously technological advanced state and still, you know, who knows what happens to them. But, I mean, don't give up on us.
No, I think that caller, the glass is half full or half empty. I mean, it's so easy for any of us, or not so easy, but for much of the consciousness and the state of the world is really revealing and mirroring that many people have thought, well, I'm not going to be here later, so I don't care. Who cares? I don't care. And so why bother? And it's not our responsibility, but it is our responsibility because if we're going to honor and treat the earth as a sacred relationship, which is the only reason why the earth agreed to a contractual agreement between form and density and light, is that we continually, just because others, I would say on a governmental level and on a worldly level, have decided to throw aside any kind of responsibility, doesn't mean the rest of us should also say, well, yeah, who cares? I think quite the opposite. We should be inspired even more so to band together and make a difference and take up the slack where others have stopped participating. Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
So I think right now is a really important time, actually, for all of us to not just pass the buck and look at each other and say, well, it's his fault, well, it's her fault, et cetera, or, well, they didn't care, why should we? I think quite the opposite. I think that we have a responsibility to all forms of life, not just our own, to stop acting as though we are the supreme beings, and return to a place where we are one with all beings and treat it accordingly and treat one another accordingly. And unless the consciousness desires for the experiences to become more and more extreme and crisis to become more and more foundationally acceptable and without the opportunity of reversal. So I think that the last caller's perspective is interesting to take into account, because if we don't care, then those of us that don't care and detach, then we are giving permission for what is already a chasm and breaking to break even further. And so it really does require everyone's conscious, mindful, present moment to remember that we are a source of unending wisdom and guidance, and allow us to be fueled and inspired by our own intuition and really give ourselves the voices to be heard.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You know, we're not suggesting we stand still or turn back the clock. We're all going to merrily go forward together. I'm merely suggesting that if we're going to adapt successfully to the changes of our own making, we should make an effort to examine the potential consequences and make some modifications.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Caller, are you there?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
Do you have a question?
I do. I would just like for both of you to speak to the concept of the golden age, the environmental movement, and the recent election of Barack Obama.
Mm-hmm. You wanted our comments on that?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I think that the golden age and Barack Obama and the recent election all is a continuum, if you will, of opportunity. And it also speaks of when a consciousness, if not the entirety of the consciousness, but a portion of it, bands together in their hearts and in their souls and believe in their minds that anything is possible, then they are there to experience the manifestation of that belief system. So instead of, I say for individuals, instead of looking at what is not working and what's not happening, I give everyone the opportunity to, I invite rather everyone the opportunity to look at what is possible when we stop looking at what we think is impossible. We have constant barrage through television, radio, and through communication of how things are breaking down and are unrepairable. And if we continually feed fuel and our own infinite sacred resources of energy, thinking, and emotion into that belief system, then we are actually creating more of what we are afraid of. So I think that the recent election and 2012 and the golden time, that we're actually participating in it prior to this and now and beyond this year. And so I think that, if anything, let what has transpired with Barack Obama and with everything that you spoke of, caller, be a constant reminder to humanity of what is possible, even when what is trying to be revealed is the impossible view. I invite you to all remember what is possible and work from that perspective and plateau. Ani?
Mm, absolutely. You know, I'll sum it up very quickly. This golden age, Barack, who I love dearly, it means more inspiration, less perspiration. It's time to really see the big picture and, you know, vibrationally align and attune. The information is coming in for us. We just need to align ourselves with it. And the other two words I would say is education and meditation. Things are going to change in our educational system. The way we teach our children, the way we perceive, all of this is going to be possible in this new golden age. I'm not going to lie and say there aren't going to be some growing pains. But if I were to be dramatic, I would say, hang on, the darkness is lifting. You know?
And I would say that this time that we're in right now is a time to look at extremes and what happens when we lose hope and what happens when we disconnect and when we stop believing in what's possible within ourselves and each other. And that's the extreme that everything has gotten to. And the 2012 and the Golden Age and all the abundance, because if there's an abundance of an imbalance on the earth of negativity, there is that much accessible of light and positivity. And I see more light workers on the earth now than I ever have. And I really believe that this is a time of light and love and of resurrection within our emotional, mental, and spiritual bodies, but it's also about really connecting hand in hand and creating community. Community that doesn't say, it's not possible, so why bother, but instead says, everything is possible, because if we perceive it and believe it, then we can achieve it.
Absolutely. To which I would only add, educate, articulate, don't procrastinate.
Thank you, caller.
Thank you.
Thank you, caller. yeah, it's a rhyming show today. Everything has to rhyme. Otherwise, yeah.
Well, we will rhyme and we will say we're almost out of time. How's that?
Oh, good, Cynthia. My gosh, thinking on your feet there. Wonderful.
Oh, thank you, everyone, so much for participating, for listening, and for adding your beautiful energies and comments and your time. We so appreciate the time that you take out of your important lives to participate in listening and dialoguing with us, because Awakening Matters is about all the matters that awaken, and awakening does matter. And we are delighted to be a part of our own awakening and to experience yours. So keep tuning in. And
absolutely. You know, as always, we welcome your feedback. Our email address is brazilbrit@gmail.com, brazilbrit@gmail.com.
Yes, and do tune in to hear the Brazilian
and the Brit
as we discuss in our next show. You know, the next show is going to be a free-flowing talking about everything important and unimportant. We're basically going to be sitting down and chatting with each other and you about all matters of importance. So do feel free to call in and add your thoughts and your jokes and your experiences and onward. And know that you are so very much appreciated.
And so I'll just say, this is Ani Avedisian, encouraging you to let your imagination drive your incarnation.
And this is Cynthia Sloan. If it resonates, make it your own.